I was visiting with the Dykes family about our church and about becoming members of our church, and in the midst of that conversation, said something about was talking about to Cody what he did and what for the future what he was wanting to do and so on and so forth, and Cody said, I really feel like I'm called to do what you do. And then he said, only a lot better. No, he didn't say that. Yeah. I'm messing with you, Cody. You didn't say that. Come on up, Cody. Cody's has felt a call and stirring in his heart towards ministry, and I told him I would give him an opportunity to come and share the word with you guys. And, you know, we've in just my 12 or so years here, we've had about a dozen people that you guys have helped to nurture and bring forward in the Lord and send out into ministry. And that's rare. That's rare for a dozen or so. You know, we're averaging roughly one a year or so to come through our church and to send out. And that's a blessing, and it's an honor for us to get to hear you share the word for the first time kind of officially. And so I want to pray for you and can't wait to hear what the Lord has to say. Pray with me. Father, I thank you for you are still alive, and you are still calling people. You're still stirring hearts. And I thank you for Cody, that Father, he comes in obedience. He comes in humility and faithfulness. God, empower him by your Spirit. Open our hearts and our ears to hear, Lord, and just may the peace that passes understanding fall on him, and may he be clothed with power from on high, and may he speak with your power and with your authority. In Jesus' name, amen.
Actually, Jeff, I don't think that I said I would do it better than you. I said that I wanted your chair. Church, I'd like to first off thank everybody for giving me this opportunity. Thank Jeff and your family and your guidance in this whole thing. There's nothing greater to be able to roll out of bed and to tell people about Jesus Christ. And hopefully this is the beginning of that journey if it's his will. Just like Jeff said, my name is Cody Dykes. And I want to start off by asking, who here likes to fish? If you don't like fishing, yeah, I know that hand's held high back there. If you don't like fishing, who likes hearing great fishing stories? Pretty much the same people. Okay, well, for those of you who aren't into fishing, I hope still this sermon speaks to you. My title of my sermon today is Jesus' Guide to Great Fishing. My father, who's in the audience today, he is very passionate about this sport. And like most fathers do, they like to pass on their passion to their sons, their daughters, their children. My dad's passion drove him out for days, sometimes entire weekends, to go on fishing tournaments and things of this nature. Well, to this 9 or 10 year old boy, sometimes those long days wasn't exactly what appeared to be a good time. My dad's love quickly was met by a lot of whining. I'm hot. I'm cold. Is it time to go home yet? His lesson for me in fishing quickly turned into a lesson for him in patience. If you ask my dad today if I liked fishing, he'd probably tell you, nah, I think I ruined him on that subject. One time, I remember out at Lake Hubbard, not far from here, out in Breckenridge, Texas, me and him sat out on the boat. Beautiful day, everything seemed fine. Then all of a sudden, the clouds became dark. A storm was brewing. Our peaceful fishing trip was quickly turning into an episode of The Deadliest Catch. The waves started coming over into the boat. We're rocking back and forth. What I used to think I could see land now was just rough waters. Needless to say, a young boy was pretty scared. But in the midst of that fear, I did remember feeling a piece of calmness. I could see who was at the helm of that boat. I knew we were going to be okay. Dad, despite it all, I want you to know I go fishing every day. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I ask that you fill this room with your Holy Spirit. Let it penetrate our hearts and our minds and overfill our cup. Prepare us for this upcoming week. Let us continuously seek your face. Calm the storm in our hearts. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Church, if you'll turn with me to Matthew 4, verse 19. Matthew 4, verse 19 says, "Come follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Imagine 2,000 years ago when fishing wasn't a sport. It was a way of life. It was a source of income. It was a way to feed your family. And back then, they didn't have the luxuries of a wide variety of baits. They didn't have fishing poles. They didn't have GPS systems to track where you should go. All they had was their hands and a net. Now imagine with me Peter and his brother just coming back after a long fishing trip just as such, just wore out, tired, just wanting to pack up and be done with the day. And along comes on the shore, walking on the shore comes a stranger, somebody that they've never seen, and that stranger calls out and says, "Can I lend you a hand? Can I help you?" Imagine what Peter and his brother's first thought must have been. He said, "No, I don't have enough to feed me and my family. I can't provide for what I've got. I have no work for you." Before Peter could utter those words, I imagine that stranger not giving him the opportunity to say anything and practically climbing up Peter and getting into his boat. At this point, Peter and Andrew are probably saying, "This guy's nuts." But then that stranger calls them by name with no introduction. A miracle happens that changes their thoughts, their minds, that grabs a hold and draws them near. That stranger is Jesus. He calls out to Peter and he calls out to Andrew. He says, "Be done with this life. Put it all aside. Come follow me and I will make you fishers of men." God gives us our own free will. Peter and Andrew that day could have followed their own will, could have stuck with this whole guy's nuts. But a miracle happened, just like I said. And I don't know if it was... they did spend some time out on the water with Jesus. They did think differently, think other than this day's done. The fish aren't biting, and Jesus took them out, and they were bringing in just boatloads of fish. I wasn't there. I can't tell you, but I do know this. Even if Peter and Andrew would not have followed God's will and followed their own, I'm sure that Jesus would have still found another Peter, another Andrew. God's will still would have been fulfilled. I'm confident in that. Luckily, Peter and Andrew, they did follow their hearts. They did what Jesus asked them to do, and their life became one of the best fishing stories ever told. Church, I'm excited. Because that fishing story hasn't ended yet. That fishing story is alive today. I'm sitting here telling all of you, first off, you don't have to be great. God's already great. But you give God the opportunity, you give Jesus the opportunity, you seek His face, and you could be the next Peter that walks on water. You could be the next giant slayer armed with just a sling and a stone. You could be the next Mary Magdalene who found the greatest man of all, who forgave her of all of her sins, who washed her clean, who loved her unconditionally. Only to see that same man who freed you from the chains of this world be hated by the same world. That's all of us today. In Luke 18, 15 through 16, people were also bringing their babies to Jesus to have them touch them. When the disciples saw this, they rebuked them. But Jesus called out, "Let the children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to them." In case you don't know me or know my family, I have four beautiful children always tagging along. And every time that we enter into this church, they're always seeking one thing. Candy. Either they're met at the door by Wiley along with some kind words and he's handing them out, or there's a dish right outside where they can go and gather up as many as they can, or they even come back there and see you guys back there in the sound booth. Y'all are back there feeding them sugar. Thank you for that, by the way. Their need is met every time we come to church. But I want to dig into that need a little bit. I think Jeff and the staff here think you all have stinky breath. No, is that true, Jeff? Some? Okay. No, I believe that the real need is not only to my children, but it's also for everybody in this church, everybody who walks through those doors. We're all drawn to the lifesaver in our church. God's children are drawn to Christ, our lifesaver. And somewhere in life, God's put out that candy bowl. And everybody's life that's in this room today, God set that candy bowl out there for you. He wants us to take that candy, to enjoy the satisfying flavors. When He sets that bowl out there, when you partake in those satisfying flavors, that starts to lay the foundation that's built by our Heavenly Father, the one that will grow in us and mature us and send us out into this world, prepare us for all the things to come. In Matthew 7, 24 through 25, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who builds his house on a rock. The rains, they come down, the streams, they rise, and the winds blow and beat against the house, yet the house does not fall. Because it has its foundation built on a rock." Brothers and sisters, if your foundation was built when you were a child, or your house is just starting to be planned out today, the same is true. With Jesus as your foundation, no matter what this world throws at you, there's no amount of damage that can bring you down. Your house will not fall. The waters are going to rise. I heard that. The winds are going to blow. They're going to beat against your house. You're going to have trouble. Don't run to Lowe's. You can't fix it. It's not by your hands. Jesus is the carpenter of our life. He will repair everything that needs to be repaired. Keep your eyes on who is on the helm of the boat and have faith. He'll get you to land. Often in my life, when I think back, I see where I've followed my own will whenever other things were pulling at me. In case you didn't catch the Lowe's plug there, did you like that? I've been with that company for 19 years. Probably because retail's pretty easy. You find a need and you fulfill it. Put product on the shelf, people will come. They've been doing it for a lot longer than Lowe's has been around. I was walking in the mall some time back, going through the center. I don't remember what it was that I was going after, but I was in a hurry. And y'all all know the little huts that are set up in the middle of the mall where they're trying to reel you in. Everybody's got a catchy phrase, a good sales pitch. They're trying to bring you in. And I was passing by this gentleman, and he had a chi iron in his hand. I don't know if y'all can see this, but I have no need for a chi iron. So I stopped, and I thought, this is going to be good. I got to listen. Most of the time, I'm in a hurry. I'm not going to listen to you, but he's approaching me with a chi iron, church. So I stop and I listen, and his sales pitch went something like this. He said, "Are you tired of waiting on your wife or your girlfriend every time you have to go somewhere? What if I told you I could shave 20 or 30 minutes off the time that takes?" Well, church, I'm a proud owner of a chi iron today. But I didn't read the fine print. He didn't tell me only if she's taking care of herself. When you've got four children, she's also getting it. It doesn't help any, because she's not in there primping herself up. She's getting everybody else gathered and ready to go out the door. So that chi iron didn't do me a whole lot of good. But nevertheless, he had a good sales pitch. The great thing about fishing with God is that you don't need a catchy sales pitch. You're not the bait. Just stay true to the foundation that God has built for us and tell the Jesus story that is yours. And it will appeal to all the fish in the sea. It doesn't matter what got you there, where you're at in life, where you're at today, what's happening to you right now, the people you encounter, it fits in God's boat. It's where Jesus wants to fish today. At work, you might have an opportunity to talk to somebody who's heartbroken, oppressed, sick, dismayed. The only one that's going to pull them out of the raging water is Jesus. At home, you and your family, the only alarm system, you don't need the TV, you don't need the radio, you don't need your phones, the only alarm system that you need to know when bad weather's coming is Jesus. Mothers and fathers out there, your children are going to struggle in life. They're going to find oppression. They're going to have to overcome obstacles. The only one that's going to help them, their only lifesaver, is Jesus. Too often we tend to focus on the problems and not the solution. When we focus on the solution, Jesus, and we tell others to do the same, our safe place becomes visible. We get that sense of peace. We know it's going to be okay. Our outlook will change. in Luke 8, 22 through 25, one day Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's go over to the other side of the lake." So they all got in their boat and they set out. As they sailed, Jesus fell asleep. A squall came down on the lake. The boat was being swamped. They were all in great danger. The disciples woke him up saying, "Master, Master, we're all going to drown." Jesus got up. He rebuked the winds and the raging waters. The storm subsided and all was calm. And he turned and he looked at all of his disciples and he said, "Where is your faith?" Brothers and sisters, I don't know about y'all, but I feel every day that we're all in that same boat. The blood that runs through our veins, our mothers, our fathers, and the Lord above gave us, it's all destined for one thing, an end. It will stop flowing. Death. But through Jesus Christ and His blood and the bait that God used, the bait that we all need, and that need is a Savior, we all have one destination. Eternal life with Him. There is no end. Eternity means no end. Our fishing story goes on after death. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world, He gave His only Son, so that whoever believed in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." God did a lot more than just save us that day. He sent us a teacher. A teacher to teach against this world. The world teaches us to be self-serving. There's a lot of reasons why a baby cries, but it's all because it's hungry, it's tired, it needs something for itself. A child acts up because it's looking for attention. When a person drinks water, it's to quench their thirst. But church, when the world says, "Every man for themselves," the world is wrong. God's going to provide all of that for you. And He sent down Jesus to teach us compassion, love, to know how to meet the needs of the baby who's crying, to teach the child to give the living water to those who are thirsty. This broken world feeds the self-serving, but Jesus feeds us the ability to serve others. So church, I challenge you today. Put down the things that serve yourself. Put down the cell phones, put down the Facebook, and let Jesus show you what real relationship's about. Real relationship on this world and real relationship in heaven with our Holy Father. Some of the best fishing stories come out of a storm. Church, it's stormy outside. It's time to go fishing. The altar's open for anybody who'd like to come up and pray, anybody who'd like to come up and tell somebody about the raging waters out there in this world, to learn about how to fish for men, to learn about Jesus. I welcome anybody to come up with us today and pray. Thank you for this time.
We bow our hearts. We bend our knees. Oh, Spirit, come make us humble. We turn our eyes from evil things. Oh, Lord, we cast down our idols. So give us clean hands. Give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Give us clean hands. Give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. And God, let us be the generation that seeks your face, O God of Jacob. And God, let us be the generation that seeks your face, O God of Jacob. We bow our hearts, we bend our knees. O Spirit, come make us humble. We turn our eyes from evil things. Oh Lord, we cast down our idols. So give us clean hands. Give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Give us clean hands. Give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. And God, let us be the generation that seeks your face, O God of Jacob. And God, let us be the generation that seeks your face, O God of Jacob. We bow our hearts, we bend our knees. Oh Spirit, come make us humble.
Is that your prayer this morning? Turn your eyes from evil things.
We turn our eyes from evil things. Oh Lord, we cast down our idols. So give us clean hands. Give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Give us clean hands. Give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. And God, let us be the generation that seeks your face, O God of Jacob. God, let us be a generation that seeks your face, O God of Jacob.
Cody, thank you for that strong word, brother. I want you to come down where people, as they leave today, can greet you and thank you for bringing that word. Cody's challenged us today, just as Jesus challenged us 2,000 years ago, to go and become fishers of men and women, by the way. And we say every week, you know, as the vision statement of our church is to love God, love people, and does anybody remember the last? Offer them Christ. Go and offer them Christ. Be fishers of men. We are dismissed. God bless you.
Give us clean hands. give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. Give us clean hands. Give us pure hearts. Let us not lift our souls to another. And God, let us be a generation that seeks your face, oh God of Jacob. God, let us be a generation that seeks your face.